seeking the help of the Lord. I would direct your thoughts this evening into the chapter we have read, Luke chapter 5, and at verse 27. Luke chapter 5, and at verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. We have had it set very clearly before us in the chapter we have read that where the word of the king is, there is power. Almighty power. Not to be compared to the power of a natural ruler. That is great. And when we consider sometimes, if but a request or command is given by an earthly king or queen, how rapidly, how earnestly it is attended to. And yet, sad to say, there are also very clear evidences that when the commands of the heavenly king are published, there are many thousands who ignore them. It has no meaning, no effect. You say, well then, how can it be that where the word of a king is, there is power? Because his command that goes forth unto those given unto him of his Father to be saved from everlasting hell are those whose hearts are prepared, are moved, are wrought upon under that command. They hear it because their ears have been opened. They feel it because their hearts have been broken and softened. And they obey it because the Spirit is imparted to them to believe that that which the King of Kings speaks must ever be right and must always be obeyed. We mourn in these days the lack of the signs and evidences of these sinners saved by grace, evidenced by their walking in the ways of their King, in the way of his commandments, which are honourable and glorious, and which will ever show forth his praise. I had no thought in coming of speaking from such a word as this. Nevertheless, what is laid upon our heart, we have to venture with. And as we've been singing in the hymn just now, all things ordered, known unto him, all appointed are by him. And I believe that applies to the word spoken from the pulpit as much as in any other respect. Or if it's appointed of him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then it must be obeyed. And in being obeyed will bring forth that which he intends it to bring forth. And that is gracious fruit. God-honoring fruit. That which is not only profitable to the receiver, but honouring to the bestower. So then let us turn for a moment or two in consideration of this particular case. It is but one of many that is recorded. But the Holy Spirit has recorded it there for the living family of God in whatsoever state they may be at this present time. It's recorded there for their instruction. It might be for their comfort and encouragement. But it also might be to bring them to solemnly consider their way, their walk, their standing, as before this heavenly King. The Holy Spirit will guide and direct the thoughts of those who are exercised thereby to a path or to a word that will clearly show them what they have to do. Have you known this? I'm sure some of you have. Or you would not be where you are today. Sitting before your God with a humble faith in your heart that He has brought you hitherto. That He has shown you those things that are good and has blessed your soul in enabling you to receive of them. And therefore you come with thankful hearts, humbled in spirit, yet thankful because of this, that which you once feared has not transpired. And I can go back in our own thoughts, our own little experience, to such a time when our fears were mountain high, that there could be no mercy for such as me. Can there be? Can there? Tell me, Lord, can there be amongst thy people room for me? Such an out and out sinner? By the grace of God, we've been brought into that way. Sometimes we still have many fears. No, because we have so many slips. And because oft times a carnal heart and mind causes a darkness to descend upon our spirit. When a spirit of unbelief will drive away the spirit of faith. They can't walk together in harmony. And by these things we're brought again and again to beg of the Lord to make the matter plain. To say it again, I am thy salvation. Again to reveal to us that grace which we humbly hope he has planted within is alive and strong and will cause us amidst all the doubts and fears that beset us still to look to him who spoke first. Who spoke that word of peace and pardon into our poor heart and gave us a humble, yet a real hope that we were amongst his children. A pardoned sinner, a pardoned rebel, made a child, yes. And if made a child, then such commands as that King ever will give, will be humbly but sincerely obeyed. In the chapter that we read together, we have two or three instances of the Lord's almighty power in several respects. We shall not dwell on them. We just note them, because they all come from the hand and the power of this same King. In the beginning of the reading, we read of the miracle of the fishes. How barrenness was made in a moment into great prosperity. He spake and it was done. But there had to be, even in that which was for his praise, a manifestation of the humility of obedience. cast thy net on the right side. They mourned, they said, we've toiled all night and we take nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It's the same power. Whatever the cause of that word in its need may be, that word is the word that will bring you into that right place. It will bring you as before a heart-searching God, low at his feet to fall, and say, show me, Lord, thy way. The Apostle Paul cried, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, there's no disunity in the way the Lord God Almighty works in the hearts of poor sinners to bring them to a saving knowledge of himself. It will always bring them to his feet, there to seek from him to know and do his will. Not my will, but thine be done, is the real evidence that this work is true within you. Well, there was the obedience. They let down the net, and a great multitude of fish was taken at the net break. And they called their fellow partners with their boat and filled that too. Oh, we have seen strange things today. We read in this chapter. They saw strange things. But remember, it was the fruit of obedience to the word of God. And if we are given grace to observe that, in all that air God calls us to enter into, we too shall see strange things. And we shall feel the power of them too, in bringing us into that sweet place where this dear man was brought, who is the subject of our text. He passed on. And whene'er the Lord passed on his way, it was to fulfill his Father's will. It was to make known his sovereignty, his power, and his wondrous love. He never took one journey in vain. He never withheld his presence in vain. Sometimes that may cause many a fear in the heart of an exercised soul who would desire to obey him, would desire to walk in the way of his commandments, because he delays. Let me just remind you, and very briefly, when dear Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, was ill, Martha and Mary sent for him because they knew that he could do him good. But he waited 2 days. I won't enlarge on it. I think we have spoken from that portion here before now. He waited 2 days. And when he did get there, Lazarus was dead. This is for the glory of God and for their faith to be made strong and to draw forth from their heart and their lips their confession of faith in him. That was the purpose. And he hides the purpose of his grace sometimes that he may make it better known. He came now on this journey to one who was a leper, and he had compassion on him. It does not tell us much of this man, but it does tell us this, that there was placed in his heart a prayer to the living God. Lord, King, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And that prayer was heard. And if that is the prayer of some poor sinner's heart to be made clean, then you go to the same King, the same Sovereign Lord, the same great physician, the same compassionate Saviour. For he changeth not. This poor man came and cried, and the Lord heard him, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Said some, in their coming, in their venturing, midst their fears, do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. The word of a king with power. And if it be so as regards a bodily affliction, the Lord Jesus in his compassion would deliver this poor man from, how much more so when it comes to the affliction of sin upon the conscience, sin upon our very spirit. Bowed down and can in no wise lift up ourselves because of it, feeling to be, as the apostle declared, not only the least of all saints, but the greatest of sinners. Oh, it is such characters as these, when the Lord in his mercy is dealing with them, that are honest in their confession, of whom I am chief, but not cast off. The apostle knew the power that attended the salvation made known unto him. This poor man knew it in his body. And Jesus was faithful in this. He said, go and show thyself to the priest. Offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them, to show that the commandments of God are right, are pure, and must be obeyed. And he withdrew himself into a wilderness and prayed. Then there followed this further miracle. Oh, what a manifestation in such a short time of the compassion of Jesus Christ, the man with the palsy, who could not get near because of the crowd. But those who bore him, those whose faith enabled them still to press on with their case, with their afflicted, dying friend, they let him down through the roof. They found a way. Did they find a way? The Lord showed them the way. He will make it plain when every way seems closed up in your coming, with a desire to walk in this path. He will make it plain. One of those mysterious ways of which we sing in our hymn. They open the roof and let him down into the midst before Jesus. He came where he was. And then began that discussion by the unbelieving Pharisees concerning that which the Lord Jesus spake. For, as you well remember from our reading, he did not come immediately to the man's complaint in body. When he saw their faith, that had enabled them amidst all the difficulties to bring him, to bring this man to his feet. When he saw their faith, he said. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, what a day for that poor afflicted one. He was one of the richest men on earth. He had come as a poor helpless creature, bound down by 10,000 ties. True, he was supported by praying friends, but he in himself was a helpless, dying sinner. But now the healing is given in a moment. Man, thy sins are forgiven. And he could ignore all the mockery of those about, all the arguments that were raised up. And no doubt, in his own soul he rejoiced when his Lord and Saviour, for such he was, he had spoken the word of pardon, said, whether is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately, you see, every time, at once, the king's commands cannot be denied. Referring again to a natural king, what would happen to such a one who refused to obey, or delayed obeying when it was the king who commanded it? In this matter that is before us here, the king's business is urgent. And the messengers sent forth to these coming sinners, these longing souls, and they deliver that message. And immediately there's a rising up. It seems to strike a very beautiful chord in the heart, this response to our gracious King's request, immediately. Do we find it so? Is that the desire wrought within us? Immediately. He spake and it was done. And that in relation to the creation of this world. It applies also to that new creation of every heaven-born soul. Immediately he rose up and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Oh, this is the path that we pray earnestly the Lord will make clear in this dark day, that we may see these humble subjects of the King rising up immediately to glorify their God, to go forth and declare what he hath done for them. He hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad. Well, there's something to speak of. However feeble we may be, tongue-tied in many ways, when the Lord works, and then commands, then there's liberty. We sang in our opening hymn concerning being loose from bondage. Oh, is there a soul in bondage whose prayer is unto this King of Kings, Lord, come where I am, speak the word unto me, that I may be healed? Blessed soul, if it is so, we will not leave you beyond the appointed hour. Going back to Martha and Mary, you remember that when Jesus did come, we read that Mary rose up immediately and ran unto him. That's the way. That's the fruit of this work. Oh, you cannot go before God. That is a sin. That is presumption. But when he speaks, then you cannot deny. You dare not deny. So it was with Matthew, Levi, as he's named here. Here was a chosen vessel unto God. One who was sovereignly appointed in the counsels of Jehovah to be a messenger to go forth and declare the wonders of grace which he was brought to know and to enjoy. A preacher of the gospel. What an unlikely character, yes. But as the Lord Jesus, as we just tried to set before you, dealt with poor bodies in their healing, so he deals graciously with poor, needy souls. It's a divine command that's needed. Nothing else will do it. Not all the blandishments of men, the persuasions of men, the enticements of men in what they call a gospel invitation will bring this to pass. This is a way that God alone appoints and he himself divinely directs. But now he came. He went forth again, another journey, and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me, follow me. Remembering first what Levi was, a poor, despised sinner, a collector of taxes. He was one that the rulers would have nothing to do with. But the friend of sinners who had chosen him and redeemed him now comes to call him by his name, to walk out and walk in those divinely ordered paths that should be for God's eternal praise. Follow me. Oh, we see God's sovereignty in this wonderful work of grace toward this poor tax collector. No doubt Jesus had passed this way many times before, but now is the appointed hour. It was so for Matthew, for Levi. Now is the appointed hour. And not only did he hear the command, but that work of grace that works deep within the heart of man brought compliance to that command. There was no hesitation immediately. And he left all, rose up and followed him. You know, it's so simple as it's set before us here, and yet it is one of the deepest exercises that a man can be brought into. But where the word of the King is, there is the enabling grace. That power that attends must avail, it will conquer all that my oppose. Here was a character described by the prophet Isaiah of old. Sought out. Jesus sought me. And if you're a child of God, you'll be able to say it. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Now, there have been no deep instruction to Matthew. We don't read of any teaching he had received concerning this vital truth. Yet the very issue of it proves that there was made known unto him the power of Christ's salvation. We read, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. But is the Holy Spirit unable to come in a moment to enlighten a sinner's soul? No. All power is given in heaven and in earth, both to God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, in the bringing to pass and bringing to fruition that which in the counsels of a Jehovah was always ordained. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. We have it here. The appointed time. Jesus was unsought by Matthew. I doubt whether he'd even given it a consideration. Whether he, this despised tax gatherer, should follow this man of whom so much was spoken, and yet who was so despised by the religious leaders. All that is of no avail at all. It means not a thing. His thoughts, his desires. The Lord God Almighty says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. He left all, rose up, and followed him. And remember, Jesus looked upon him just as he was. He saw him as a sinner. But he saw him not only in his sin and the love of that sin, but he saw him as his disciple. Follow me. And by these means, these gracious, loving means, all opposition is broken down. And that soul will, in love, to that which is revealed unto him by the Spirit of truth, concerning Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, in whom all the fullness of salvation dwells, will, as Matthew did, leave all, rise up and follow. But there was something more, and we should only have time to briefly mention it. He went from that place as a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. It was an immediately effective command. At once it brought its fruit. Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And who did he call? There were a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them, and that incurred the wrath of the Pharisees. They knew not that secret work that had taken place in this man's heart. They knew not that which he had been called to, a follower of the Lamb, walking in loving obedience, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. They said, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered, they that are whole need not a physician, they that are sick. And it is these sin-sick souls whom Jesus loves, to whom this command comes. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, have we ever blessed God for that truth made known to us, to call sinners to repentance. The very purpose of his coming into this sinful world. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And saving them, they, in their turn, must follow him. For in him is life, and light, and liberty. Even while they traverse this wilderness here, but in keeping close to him, these dear sheep of the fold, hear his voice, receive their food, know his protection, and have the comfort of this, that when the journey is done, the door of the fold was open for them. The door of his mercy has been opened now, but the door of that heavenly fold will then be opened through Christ Jesus, whom they follow. And they shall be safe and secure. But the time's gone. These are but a few broken thoughts. But I trust they were of the Lord. And if so, then who can tell? That we may say, we have seen strange things today. Oh, that soul that would to Jesus press must keep this firm and sure that his command is to be obeyed.